Good morning, guys. So we're in the middle of this series in Ephesians 4, and it's a little different than a regular sermon. We're kind of pulling you all into the locker room. We get to coach you a little bit on how should we treat each other as a church, and specifically we're looking at how should we treat each other in small groups. Okay, so we've got small groups happening on Wednesday nights and out in the community. And here at the church at different times as well. And so these small groups are all going through the exact same stuff that we're going to be talking about in the sermons. So love for you guys to engage with it here on Sundays, but also throughout the week too. So today, what we're going to be talking about is going to speak to this sort of a situation. So that top left arrow is the person or the group that's going somewhere. They're changing, right? So we all have these aspirations, right? That we want to become better. We want to become more like Jesus. We want to get over some of our past hang-ups, and we want to be different people, right? We want to be upward in our trajectory. But how many of you have had more of the scribble experience at the bottom there, where you're really excited about, you're going to lose weight, and then you get really excited about you're going to pay off some debt, and then you get excited about you're going to read your Bible every day, and then you go back and try to lose weight again, and then you get grumpy, and you yell at somebody you shouldn't, and then you ask for forgiveness, and you're just kind of like all over the place. And you're always frantically trying to get better, but if you zoom out, it's just a scribble, right? It's just the kind of not really changing. And ask this question about yourself. 5 years ago and today, are you really in a better spot than you were? Like, some of you can look at your life and think, like, yes, like, you knew me 5 years ago. What about just the last 3 months? Are you really in a better spot today than you were 3 months ago? Some of you are, right? And if you are, I bet you're going to be doing some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about today, right? So that's where we're getting at today, is how do we become a small group, actually, that's going somewhere, where the people inside that group are changing for the better? How do we not just jump around from idea to idea and not get anywhere? So if you're like me, writing stuff down helps me remember it way better. And the hope is you'll talk about this stuff in your small groups this week. So feel free to grab one of those notepads and write stuff down. If you are a note taker, I'm going to make it pretty easy for you right out of the gate. Here's what we're talking about today. So here's your three things to kind of write on your sheet and give you a little bit of space. When we're talking about having Jesus as our head or as our leader, what does that mean? We're talking about speaking the truth in love, which is the idea of being able to say something hard, honest, frank to somebody, and do it in a way that's not judgmental or hateful or spiteful. Do it out of love. We're going to get into some specifics there. And finally, a real specific step on how do we become small groups that build up. Okay, and a specific challenge for Maywood in particular. So we're going to read a passage in Ephesians chapter 4. This comes right after our vision passage that we talked about last week. Our vision passage is about how Jesus gifts every single person that he sets free. Jesus has set you free. He's given you a gift, and the role of a leader is help you grow in those gifts, equip you in those gifts. So that's last week, these awesome promises. And here's what we're going to pick up in Ephesians 4, verse 14. He says, as we're growing and maturing, he says, then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. What he's describing there is the scribble, where you're following somebody or some group of people and you're just bouncing from thing to thing to thing like a wave in the ocean. And just wherever momentum takes you, that's where you go for a little while, and then you shift and go somewhere else later. So what's a different way to live? He says, instead, here's a different way to live. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. I want to point out this passage is written to a group. It's not written to an individual. As we're reading this, we've got to do it together, that we're going to grow together to be the body of Jesus. It says in every respect, the mature body of Jesus. That means we're supposed to be like Jesus is physically here. When we're all together in the right way, It's like Jesus himself is here in Independence. Okay? Verse 16, for Jesus, for him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that's what we're getting at to today. We want to get to the spot where we're building each other up to be like Jesus as a group. Okay? So that first thing, have Christ as our head or Jesus as our head, what does that mean? This is an analogy that has a lot of truth behind it. So think about just the things you've done this morning. You got up, hopefully you brushed your teeth at some point, you know, and you drove or walked or rode your bike here or whatever, you got here somehow, you've walked around, you've talked. A lot of things we take totally for granted, unless you've recently had an injury or something like that, and then you won't take it for granted. But a lot of things we totally take for granted, like walking around and talking right now, moving all these different limbs, and just brushing your teeth, coordinating your wrists and your fingers and your mouth, and your fingers didn't like send a message to your mouth and say like, hey, when do you think is a good time to open up and brush your teeth? Like there wasn't like a big like conversation between the different parts of your body, right? What happens for our body is every single part of our body is connected to our brain. And it's a one-way submissive relationship, right? They listen to what the, you know, different parts of the body, they listen to the brain, and they do what the brain signals for them to do. And because of that, there's all of this amazing, elaborate coordination that can happen between very different parts. My fingers don't even need to have a concept of a hand or of another hand or of feet. They don't have to understand all that. They just have to submit to the head, right? So out of the gate, the critical thing before any of the rest of today's stuff is going to work is you have to ask yourself, is Jesus the head of my life? Is Jesus the boss? Am I even paying attention to the signals he's giving me? I mean, that's what it is to be paralyzed. A paralyzed limb just can't hear from the brain. So are you paralyzed spiritually, or are you listening to what Jesus is saying? And if you're listening, then there's just the choice of obedience or disobedience, right? If Jesus told me to do this, am I going to make it a priority or not? So everything else we're going to talk about today, it's going to be really messy and terrible and hurt people if you try to do it on your own smarts or your own wisdom. And you're going to be very hypocritical if you start trying to get involved in other people's lives if you haven't said, hey, am I listening to Jesus myself? None of us are perfect. You don't have to wait to apply Ephesians 4 until you're perfect. But the first step is you got to say, I need to submit to Jesus myself. I need to listen to him every day, and I need to try to follow him every day. And I want to be a part of a group where other people are listening to Jesus and trying to follow him. Not that they're perfect, but if you're part of a small group, you want to encourage, hey, all of us need to be listening to Jesus and doing what he says. And if they don't, that's where some of this advice comes in, okay? So what do we do after this? If we're trying, at least, to listen and obey Jesus, here's another thing that you'll run into, is we all give ourselves lots of excuses. We all typically are very generous to ourselves, so we kind of turn a blind eye to some of our worst traits. It's normal human behavior. And sometimes we don't even know the worst things about us. You might be able to talk to if a coworker was honest or a family member, maybe there's 10 or 20 or 50 people that know a giant flaw in your life that you don't know about. Isn't that scary? Like maybe if you took a poll with 20 people, they'd all say, what's the top problem in Jake? Maybe they'd all say the same thing. And maybe it wouldn't be the same thing I would say because I'd be wrong. So I mean, if that many people all think I have a giant issue, and I don't, like, then I'm definitely have a problem, right? So one of the things that Jesus gives us to help correct us is he gives us other people. They don't have all the same biases we have. They don't have the same excuses for us that we have. They can help us, but it can get real messy, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about. This verse about having Jesus be the head and growing into him, it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So when you get into a group of other Christians and they are honest, and in a loving way they're honest, then you can really start to grow to become who you're supposed to be in the body. When you're open to that, and there's a two-way, we're being open with each other and being honest and frank. So here's the reality, though. Can you think of conversations you've had with people where people have told you that you need to change? It didn't go well? I mean, we could all think of those, right? Where maybe we thought they were an idiot, and maybe they were even right. Or maybe where they were just totally wrong and judgmental, and we got really mad about that, right? So how do we do this correctly? How do we speak the truth in love in a way that is actually helpful? So I want to give a few examples of things. So the first one that is making people chuckle is the guy with food in his teeth. So this is, in a really small way, is at the heart of the whole conversation. It's a real small, easy example. But this is about 4 or 5 weeks ago. I don't know exactly how long ago. But I was here at church talking to several people. And it wasn't until I talked to Corin Davis. I don't know if Corin is here at the moment. Yeah, Corin's right by there. So Corin was like, "You've got something in your teeth, Jake. Like, I'm just going to be upfront with it, you know?" And yeah, sure enough, like, yeah, I had some sort of like blueberry something like in my teeth. But Corin had the guts to say, like, "I'm not afraid of a little awkward comment. I'm just going to tell you," which is nice. Like, I appreciated it, right? But there's a lot of people who they can't even do it. They can't even say, like, "You got something in your teeth." Like, they'd just rather smooth it over, not have the awkwardness. So that's really, really small thing. We're going to be talking about with these other examples are much bigger things. But that's at the heart of it, is saying, I'm okay to have a little weird moment because I care enough about you to try to help, right? So before we get into these other examples, I want to give you a couple qualifiers here. Don't start trying to speak the truth in love with somebody that you don't like very much. Okay, so like maybe that should go without saying, but that the reality is you're not going to like every single person. I mean, we're a church, and there's no possible way we're all going to just like each other perfectly, right? Jesus commands us to love other people. And there may be a time where Jesus tells you to say something hard to hear out of love to somebody that you don't like. But don't start there. And you need more than just a little sermon to tell you how to do that right. It's really challenging because it's really easy to get into this spot where I know best and you need to listen to me. And if you don't naturally really like and care about the person, it's much harder to do it right. Okay, so start with people that you just naturally really, really love, you really, really like them. That's where you start. It still won't be easy, but you'll be on your way to not doing it, making a total mess. Okay, so start people you already really care about and like. Even if you start with that, it can still be rough, though. So I'm going to talk about this couch here. I've had a lot of conversations with people in my office on that couch, and some of them go really well, some of them don't go well, for all sorts of different reasons, sometimes for my mistakes. But I can remember there's one person I was talking to on this couch, and they were the type of person that God could do a lot through. They had a lot of gifts for teaching, but they'd been in, you know, they'd come through recovery, or they're in recovery, and they're still smoking, and they're wanting to teach different classes in recovery, but you guys know, like, there's some judgmental, there's just a lot of weirdness there. If you're teaching about, like, hey, get a new life, and then you go out and smoke, like, some people are like, "What? This guy's still addicted to nicotine," and there's a lot of judgment there, okay? It's messy. So I talked to this guy. So first I was like, man, I wish this guy wouldn't smoke anymore, just so it'd be easier to put him into different leadership roles. So of course I made jokes about it, or like beat around the bush about it, or asked him if he'd been smoking, you know, was wanting to quit or not. None of those were effective. And a lot of times that's what people do. Like, oh, I see this thing that this person's got going on wrong. I'm just going to try to beat around the bush and hope that they clue in. And that typically doesn't really help people much, I don't think. So finally, I prayed about it quite a bit, and then I sat this guy down and said, look, these are all the good things I see in you. I care about you, but I know it's going to slow you down as long as you're smoking. It's going to slow down what God can do in your life. Because He wants you to be make a big impact on other people. And for some people, it's going to be a hang-up that you're smoking. And when I told him that in a really serious way, and in a, I'm asking you to quit smoking for what's good for you, it made this huge impact on the person. And I thought, why didn't I have that conversation months ago with that person? Because they just needed to hear from somebody that had really thought about it, who really cared about them, like, this is what's best for you. And think about it. If you were somebody, like, someone came to you in that way, a lot of us would have the humility to listen to that person, right? It's like, I can see what you're saying. So smoking is an easier one to have a conversation about. I started with that one because most people who are smoking, who are adults, they've thought about quitting at some point. They have some desire maybe to quit. So it's not really that hard of a conversation to bring up. Much more difficult one that happened several years back to me is I was around a good friend of mine quite a bit, and little things that he would say and do to his wife and that just their relationship and their dynamic, there were definitely some red flags that, like, things aren't going well. And specifically that I felt like, as his good friend, I felt like he was being selfish and not treating his wife right. Which, just saying that sounds super judgmental, right? Like, just say that, like, wow, Jake, like, you know, you must be so great to even have that thought about somebody. So I felt judgmental even thinking that way. But these little things would come up. So I prayed about it a lot. I prayed for their marriage a lot. If you're thinking you need to go talk to somebody and tell them how they need to change, but you haven't even prayed for them or prayed about the situation, that's maybe a warning sign. But so I thought about it a lot. But so imagine going to a good friend of yours and telling them, like, I don't think you're treating your wife right. And that's like a pretty intense conversation to have, right? So I, yeah, get you hit. Yeah, so exactly. So, and I also felt like this, and it was really small stuff that I had seen. But I the more that you talk with God, first and foremost, he will show you tons of stuff that you need to change. For every time Jesus has told me to have a conversation with somebody else, there's been 50 or maybe 500 things that he's told me to change. But along the way, you start to know his voice about when something's wrong. So I felt that for this friend. So I still didn't know if it was really right of me to go have this conversation. So I went to my mentor. And this is not something you can just, you don't want to just go to a bunch of people and say, oh, let me get everyone's opinion about whether I should talk to this person about something that's wrong in their life. I mean, that's just gossip. But if you have a real mentor in your life who you really will submit to, then it's worth going to them and saying, hey, I need you to keep this between the two of us, but I see this in my friend's life. I'm thinking about talking to them in this way. What do you think? What advice do you have for me? So I went to my mentor, asked him that, and if he had told me, no, Jake, you shouldn't go talk to him, then I wouldn't have gone. But he told me, no, I think this is good. I think you need to talk to him. And the reason I have a road sign here is my friend lived far away. So this wasn't just like I called him up on the phone or texted him or something. Like, I'm going to have this face-to-face. So I told him, like, hey, man, I need a whole afternoon. Like, when can you do that? And then I drove to see him. It, like, took me the whole day to have this conversation with him. And when I went to him, I did say, like, just what I told you guys. Like, this is the reason I came down here is because I think there's issues with your marriage, and I think you're being selfish. And these are the things that I've seen, and I think you need to change. I had that whole conversation. When I went driving down there, I thought, I don't know that we're going to be friends after this conversation. You're like, he's a really good friend of mine, but it was like, I don't know. But I knew, ultimately, like, I knew the Holy Spirit had told me to have this conversation with him, so I needed to do it. And I knew the friendship could go one of two ways. We were either going to get closer, or we were going to not be close. The thing you have to ask yourself is, what kind of friendships do you want to have? Because I want friends that will speak the truth and love to me. And I want to be able to do that with them. And it's okay if there's only a few of us. You know, like, not everybody wants that, okay? But it's okay if you get to that crossroads moment to say, like, it's okay if this doesn't work out. So what happened in that story? Well, I'd love to tell you, like, we had this conversation and his marriage is great and everything worked out. Had the conversation with him. he responded to it really well and made some changes. But it was too little too late, or I don't know what to put on that. Like, their marriage didn't work out. I was the only person that talked to him, even though there were a bunch of people physically closer to him at that point than I was. But I was the only one. And I think a lot of people go through giant things in their life that blow up or don't go the way they want. And there were all these warning signs all along the way. And most people don't have a single friend who will pull them aside and say, things don't look right in your life. Are you making the best choices? What if Maywood's small groups were the type of place, not where we're all judgmental, but the type of place where somebody is going to pull you aside and say, hey, I'm concerned about you. Is there some way that I can help? Is there something we can do to help? Like, that's what we're shooting for when it comes to speaking the truth in love, is that we would be open with each other, even when it's hard, even when you have to be frank. That's going to lead, you know, the thing about the scramble, or the scramble, that's not the right word, scribble, sorry. The thing about the scribble stuff I was talking about, you can change directions whenever it's hard. If you're scribbling, if you're a wave in the ocean, you just go wherever the momentum is. Whatever's easiest, that's where you go. That's why that person just goes tossed back and forth. To be on this upward trajectory, more and more like Jesus together, you're going to have to crash through some really hard stuff. You're going to have moments where it's like, I don't know that our friendship is going to survive this or not. I don't know that our small group can survive this or not, but we're going to try to do that together. We're shooting for being like Jesus. And the reality is, you're going to have some conversations where you're the one saying, I've been praying about this, and I feel like God's told me I need to talk to you about this. You can have other conversations where someone comes to you, someone who you think, why is this person coming and talking to me about how I need to change? And you have to have the humility to listen. You don't necessarily have to just blindly do what they say. You need to check it out with Jesus. You need to have the humility to say, like, it's not easy to go to someone and say, I see this in your life, I think you need to change. You need to at least have the humility to hear them out, and you can at least say, like, I've listened to you, I've written it down, I'm going to spend some time thinking about it, praying about it. Go and at least do that. But you may see, like, what they're saying is true, and I do need to change. God can use anybody to send that message to somebody else. God has no perfect people here at Maywood to send, you know, and have these conversations. All of us are flawed. But the thing that Ephesians 4 lays out is when we do this together, when we speak the truth in love together, we can grow to become like Jesus together. So that's what we're talking about today. Go. Another verse to refresh you on, and then one more point here. It says, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's always in love. Both these verses talk about doing things in love. But here it's building the group up to be more like Jesus as each part does its work. So last week we talked about, like, the really exciting part of, like, God's given you a gift. And it's really exciting. But here the rubber meets the road of, like, God has a job for you to do. Part of the group. And, like, if you're just hanging on and expecting the group to just do and do and do for you, then you're not building the group up. You have a job within that group too. So I've got this little kind of, I don't know, a little goofy inspirational photo, I don't know what to call it, of the different hands with the crosses. The reason I put it up is you start taking very many of those people out of that, it doesn't look like anything, right? It's only when they're all putting their hands together that it looks like a cross. That's what I liked about it, is the image that Paul's given us in Ephesians is only when we're together building up towards Jesus are we going to look like Jesus. You cannot do it by yourself. If you're here today, you feel like God wants to do something in your life, it's not going to work if it's just by yourself. You got to be with other people. So that's true for the person who this is their very first Sunday. You're not going to make it if you try to stay on your own. It's also true, though, is this is the 60th year that you've been coming every Sunday And so the work that I really want to point out to us today as a church and to challenge us to as a church is really specific. I was thinking back about when we switched to two services as a church. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. But I remember all the church, all the adults of the church from different backgrounds, they all had the same request about our two services, is that they be the same, that we not do like some sort of different music in the first service and the second service. And the reason was, I can remember having a conversation with Josh Monk in the office right over there. I can remember having conversations with, you know, older members, and that everybody kept saying the same thing about, we don't want the church to split into two different groups. We don't want it to be the folks that are younger, that have some sort of experience with recovery, and then the folks that have grown up in church and are more established. We don't want to split into two churches, because Jesus is doing something when we all come together. When we come together, it's better than when we're apart. And the reality is, Jesus wants to do that over and over. He wants to break down any walls that are out there, different types of people, bring everyone together, loving him, right? Following him. But Maywood's got that going on Sunday mornings. There's a lot of different people in this room. You know? I mean, the types of conversations you could have. I get to talk to a lot of you. And there's totally different stuff going on in your guys' lives. I mean, it's pretty wild, the differences between people in this room. And it's pretty awesome that Jesus, that we all came together and we wanted to sing together today about how great Jesus is and we don't deserve him. Right? So that's awesome. So as your coach, though, here's something that's not as strong for us, is our small groups are fairly divided, though. Our small groups are mostly folks in recovery, not totally, but it's mostly half the church. About 100 or so adults come to small groups. It's about a fourth of the church or so comes to small groups. But it's super slanted on people that have been here less than 5 years or less than 10 years. It's not as healthy as it could be because of that slant. So I've been trying to push and peer pressure like different guys that I'm closer to get them to come on Wednesday nights. And Mark Whitworth started coming at one point, and then I was pushing Mark, like, you got to get some other people to start coming. And so then Mark, and maybe of his own accord too, pushed Chuck to start coming. And there's a little testimony inside the bulletin today. Chuck talking about being a part of a small group, and hopefully you don't mind me sharing this, is a super small detail, Chuck, but just when Chuck first walked into the room, he felt kind of intimidated because it's a lot of people from very different backgrounds than he's used to. And if you've ever been in a room full of people that are different than you, you know it's kind of intimidating, no matter what the difference is. But Chuck stuck it out, and now he's super connected with a lot of these guys, and they're helping each other. Because the awesome thing is, like, Chuck has different strengths than a lot of people in the room, but he also has different weaknesses than a lot of the people in the room. And so they can help each other a lot. Like, that's a perfect space for partnerships, is when you're good at something that somebody else isn't good at, and vice versa, right? And so what Chuck's experiencing, I want all of Maywood to be able to experience. And so if you've been coming to small groups and you see some guy walk in who doesn't look like the rest of the people at the table, like, be welcoming to that guy. And if you've been coming to Maywood forever, but you're kind of, if you're honest with yourself, you're a little scared to come into one of the groups, face that fear. Say, like, you know what? I have something to give, and I need something. So this Wednesday, we've got like 100 men from the super elite choir at Baylor. They're coming to sing, and like my dream with that is that that will be a draw to some folks to come on Wednesday night, and then they'll stay for small groups and say, I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing during the week at Maywood too. Because we need each other. And a lot of us in the room, you might think somebody else needs you, but will you admit that, like, we need each other? Like, what God's doing at Maywood, we need each other to make it work. And that's what Ephesians 4, all of Ephesians 4, it's all plural. It's all us building towards Jesus together. It's not about doing it on your own. So Derek and Sandra are going to come up. We're going to do our time of response. What are you going to respond to? Do you need to say right out of the gate, I need Jesus to be my head. I need him to be the boss of my life. Or do you say, there's somebody I've been afraid to talk to, but I need to talk to them in a loving way. Last thing, is there something you need to get involved in here at Maywood? You say, I need to be a part of building people up. I need to be built up myself. So let me lead us in prayer. Jesus, I thank you that you love us, that you've done all the hard work that we couldn't do, and you've invited us to grow to be like you. I pray you'd bless each one of us as we respond in this time. Bless us with success in how we respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.